Thanks for having me. Let's pray to get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these ladies here. And I just pray, Lord, that we would all walk away edified with a higher view of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'm going to start by showing you one of my favorite pictures of all time. This is my grandma. She grew up on a farm in southern Illinois. This picture was taken around 1950. She was about 16 or 17 years old. If she knew I was using this picture, she would die. But she's already dead, so we don't have to worry about that. But look at her. She is gorgeous. She's milking a cow in her frilly little dress. She was the classiest lady I've ever had the privilege of knowing. She was always put together. Her nails were always done. That's why I love doing mine. She was my best friend and my biggest cheerleader growing up. She instilled in me a deep faith, as well as a steadfast belief in the magic of the world around us. She also gave me a full arsenal of words to use to describe my own body. She told me that I was beautiful, but she was not that kind to herself. See, my great-grandma died when my grandma was 9 months old, so she had to fend for herself a bit growing up. And grandma had a cousin named Betty. And Betty apparently had some issues because everyone called her beautiful Betty. Betty was not. She wasn't beautiful. And as a result, this person who was my grandma had a terrible image of herself that she carried for the rest of her life. Honestly, if that generation weren't, like I said, all dead, I'd love to gather them in a room sometime and tick off the issues that I have because of their careless words nearly a century ago. But it has been a focus of mine to break some of these generational sins and curses. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm real excited about it. Amanda initially approached me with this topic while we were at a pool, somewhat ironically. All our kids had swimming lessons. And I, being the crazy person that I am, volunteered to take it. She didn't actually ask me. I said that I would do it. And then I promptly backed out. And then... the Lord continued to put it on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. And I said, actually, wait, I want to do this. And now I'm really excited. So we're going to change the topic just a little bit from body image to self-image. So over the last 2 years, I've been learning how to take care of my health and wellness better and take it more seriously. I've lost a good bit of weight. I've kept a lot of it off. And I've talked to a lot of health professionals who have degrees and extensive training in their field and about what I need to do to be healthy. And one of those people was at the OSF Center for Weight Loss, where I went one time because it's very expensive. And she said something that really, really stuck with me. She said that when we're overweight or we're unhealthy, what happens is in our minds, we kind of become two separate people. We become a spirit and a body, and the two are separate in our heads, okay? So this is something that I've kind of been pondering over the last 2 years, and it is a lie from the devil. And I think, unfortunately, that this lie is really prevalent in the Christian community. So if we think about it, like, it sounds more spiritual to have a spirit that is separate from our physical body. That's what we think about, because in a sense, that is what we see. We die, our body decomposes, and our spirit goes to heaven. Split. Two separate things. One decomposes, we think it doesn't matter anymore, and the other lasts forever. As moms, it's even more prevalent. We literally give up our bodily autonomy to grow another human. We share our bodies for a time, very long time, frankly, in my opinion. And then for some of us, even longer, because we use our bodies to feed our children. As wives, we give up our bodies to love and serve and please our husbands, and they do the same for us. And it's so easy for us to think that the spirit and the body are two separate things. But it's January, and all it takes is one stomach bug for us to remember that they are not two separate things. When we are down, we cannot function as a person. Like, they are completely intertwined. So a lot of what I'm going to say next is taken from a sermon that Rich preached here one Easter, and it's stuck with me, and as I talked some of this stuff over with my husband, he remembers this sermon too. Like, it really stuck out to it, both of us. I asked Rich one time what it was, and honestly, he was like, It's this one. I was like, oh, okay. I thought you would have to like do a little research, but no, he knew. He pinpointed it. He gave me the exact passage. It's from a sermon called The Victory of the Resurrection that he preached on April 16th, 2017. This is the URL for it. I just looked it up. And like, write this down, because this is such a good sermon to go back and look at. Like, I'm not even going to scratch the surface hardly of what he talked about in this sermon. Yeah, take a picture of it. That's much better. So I'm going to give you like a flyover of it, and like, you really should go and at least read it or listen to it. It's so worth your time. It's so encouraging. So at the time Paul wrote his first letter to Corinth, this Greek idea was circulating and taking root in the church that a bodily resurrection was undesirable. Because who wants this corrupt lump of dirt, right? Does that sound familiar? Like, there's nothing new under the sun. This is Paul's argument refuting that idea, what we're about to read. I'm going to read a portion of it. It's going to be on the screen. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible because that's what I like. So it says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have when they come? You fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you are not sowing the body that will be, but only a seed, perhaps of wheat or another grain. But God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of the seeds its own body. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is different from that of the earthly ones. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. So that's a lot, but we're going to focus on three subpoints here. First is our bodies have value. Second is our bodies are a seed. Third, what do we do? First, our bodies have value. So as I pondered this topic over the last several months, I paid special attention to different messages that came up in movies, TV, ads, Instagram, etc., about self-worth, body positivity, beauty, just anything that kind of popped up. And what I saw, I'm sure it doesn't surprise anyone, was all anti-aging, buy this product, drink more water, walk 520,934,810,520 miles inside your house to Mordor, or wherever the heck that place is in Lord of the Rings. I hate Lord of the Rings, but it felt like a really good illustration. So, you get the idea. The messages have remained the same for years. But I saw one that was really disturbing, and it still, like, creeps me out. I really hadn't seen it before, and I was, like, frankly appalled. It was under the guise of spirituality, an effort to not make a big deal out of body image. It said that the way to head off body image issues was to never comment on them to begin with, to never criticize, but never compliment, to never point out what was imperfect, but also to never point out something beautiful. Tell me when ignoring a problem has ever made it go away, and I will tell you all the times in the Bible when appearance was commented on in a positive light that glorified God. If we are not speaking truth into our kids, we are leaving a space wide open for Satan's lies to come in. So tell your kids their outfits look great on them. Tell your siblings, your parents. Tell them they're beautiful. Tell your kids they're beautiful. Tell them they're handsome. Don't tell your parents that. That's weird. Tell them what you like about them, about their personalities, their appearance, everything. Tell them, because that is how God made them, and we need to praise him for it. And we're going to talk about why. So what I didn't see on Instagram was something that the Bible very clearly teaches. Our bodies have value. If we look back at Genesis 1 and 2, at the creation of man before corruption, we see two things. One is that man was created to live forever in his body because death was not part of the picture. The second is that man was created as a spirit and a body together. Adam and Eve did not get a body after they sinned. They had it from the beginning. God alone can create a body, and that's the way he designed our world. He didn't have to give us bodies, but in his infinite wisdom, he chose to. He could have made us just ethereal little spirits that could flit and float and be happy. But that's not what he chose. He gave us each a body and a spirit together in one. It is death that rips the two apart. That is one reason why death terrifies, because it rends the two separate, or that should be one separate, sorry. But friends, God is not done with our bodies after death. Like, do you really think that God, who has redeemed you, who has redeemed your soul, would leave the other part unredeemed? Never, never. God leaves nothing undone. The hound of heaven would never, ever leave a portion of his child to the work of the devil. So, yes, it is likely that our souls and our bodies will be separated for a time. But God will redeem our bodies at the last day for the resurrection of the dead. And these bodies that are resurrected, they're not going to come back like zombies or like the Inferi in Harry Potter. I like Harry Potter. They're not reanimated corpses that our souls are crammed back into. Like, no, this leads us to our second subpoint. Our bodies are actually a seed. So verse 37 says, "And as for what you sow, you are not sowing the body that will be, but only a seed, perhaps of wheat or another grain." So think about a seed. Does anybody know what these seeds are or what they become? Anyone? Yeah, Dan and I really thought that somebody would know and they would be really excited to share. So look at them next to this dime. This is a dime. I thought it was a penny when I first Googled it because I'm apparently blind. They become giant redwood trees. Or so Google tells me. I don't really know. I can't keep things alive. My boys have no idea how lucky they are. They don't know. But the idea, this is the idea that Paul is presenting here. Our bodies right now are like a tiny seed. But when God resurrects our bodies, he changes them into our resurrection body, and they will be as different as a tree is from this tiny seed. They will be majestic and breathtaking and ineffably glorious. And they will have shadows of these bodies. Like, we'll recognize each other. But this is it. Like, this is your body. This is what God gave you. This is not just a second-rate dirty pile of bones. It's something that we will not, it's not something that we'll just get rid of one day and never see again. Like, this is the glorious gift that God has given us to worship him forever. So what do we do? Well, thankfully, Paul gives us our answer in verse 58. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain." It's in verse 58. I don't know if that's what I said or not. Seems pretty straightforward. We do what we'll spend eternity doing. We worship. We exhaust these unresurrected bodies doing the Lord's work. These bodies are a gift and they are part of who we are. So let's talk about a few practical things here, because we still live in this world in these unresurrected bodies. The key word here is unresurrected. It's a word I made up. I can do that. I have my English degree. It comes with a certification to make up words when they suit my purpose. But we still live right now in this world where our bodies are wasting away and we cannot outrun death. But there are some things that we can do to help. So before we talk about this, I want to point out one thing. In this life, there are three resources that we have finite amounts of. We have time, we have energy, we have money, right? So typically, something, anything, costs a lot of one or two of those things and not much of the other. So everything I'm about to say falls into those categories, and it is up to you to decide which of these things, if any, are right for you. So first, we're going to talk about health. Second, we're going to talk about appearance. We're going to talk about our interests, and then we're going to talk about our influences. So, start with health. We've been bombarded over the last month by fitness ads, right? Like, new year, new you. While we might be tired of those ads and those thoughts and those nags, like, they're good reminders. So, like, exercise and eating right, like, those are really important things. Because here's the thing. We can get really spiritual and martyry, and we can say that we don't have time to take care of ourselves right now because we're too busy taking care of kids. And for a while, that's really true. Like, our kids' development comes with different phases, right? When we have a baby that wakes in the night, do you know what I want to do to the person who tells me sleep is important? Like, it is not nice things. It is not. But that reasoning can become an excuse that we hide behind. Because here's the truth. Our kids are going to have to deal with our health issues one way or another. It is far better for our children to watch us be proactive and to learn how to be proactive themselves than it is for them to watch us deal with things that we put off for years. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I've been taking my own health more seriously the last couple of years, and I never made 500 changes all at once. It has been 2 years of adding one habit at a time. It has been slow, and it has been steady so that it can be sustainable. And it has all been like eating healthy and exercising, like eating right and exercising. I love food. Like, do you ever look at the colors in a burrito bowl and just break out praising God because the coordination and the color palette are just gorgeous? Like, I do. There is nothing more beautiful in this world than a burrito bowl, especially when it is in front of me. Like, I'm so glad that you are like enthusiastically agreeing with me right now. Like, this is really helping me. Like, that's a good vibe. I'm not coming from a position where I starve myself or I only ate certain things or I subscribe to a diet where I'd only eat certain types of food. Because it turns out that diet and exercise, like, they are effective when you do it the right way or the way that works with your body. And I discovered that when I looked at the benefits that our health insurance offered, because like I said, I went to the OSF Weight Loss Center and it was like $300 a visit. And I was like, I can't afford that. So there was like a free program on our insurance and I was like, I'll try that. It's free. But look at your benefits. Look at the benefits that your health insurance offers. A lot of them right now are doing more proactive things than so that you can subscribe to them. A lot of them, like I did Real Appeal the first time and now I meet with a dietitian every so often through a program called Nourish. You can meet with real people for check-ins regularly and learn how to live a lifestyle that's useful for your body. Take some time to check your benefits. Finally, you just have to do it. If that's something that you're struggling with, like, you have to do it. You have to be the one to make the decision. No one can do the work for you. Like, that was really hard for me to realize. I wanted someone to come and rescue me from myself, but it's me. Like, I had to acknowledge that I had a problem and that food and my own comforts and my desires were idols in my life. And the Lord has been really faithful in helping me to make decisions regarding my body that honor him. Next, let's talk about appearance. This is fun. Some people don't care how they look, and that's great. Like, that's how the Lord made them, and it's wonderful. And some people, myself included, I like to look cute. I like to put effort into my appearance, and it's fun, and it makes me feel confident. And I can concentrate on the work at hand instead of feeling like, oh, I don't look cute. And that's great. That's how the Lord made me. And it's wonderful. But girls, I have a wonderful secret for you. Do you know the easiest way to change your appearance? It is not your hair. It is not your makeup. It is a good bra. Okay? Seriously. I am a saggy individual. I am soft and I am not perky. And last Valentine's Day, I was tired of it, man. I told my husband, I'm going to go to Soma and I'm getting fitted and I'm getting new bras. And let me tell you, that man was 10,000% on board with that situation. Girls, your boobs have worked hard over the last couple of years. Treat them well. Give them a treat and show them some love. Go to Soma and get yourself fitted. They are so nice there. They have born children. They have nursed children. And they want you to succeed. And they are so helpful. Subscribe to their text messages or their emails and wait until they have a sale and go. Actually, I got an email this morning that they have. This one is pricey. This is not one of their best deals. They have like a $29 bra sale in June, right? Yeah. Christy and I have talked about this. But right now they have 3 for $99, which, I mean, you're going to spend $25 on a crappy bra on Amazon. You might as well spend an extra $8 on a good one. So you know, wait until they get their emails, have a sale, and go. Talk to your husband if you need to first, but I guarantee that that man has a vested interest in this, and he will support you. That was my husband's joke. But go, okay? I had lost 50 pounds, and I did not see it on myself until I put on a bra that fit, and I looked in the mirror at Soma. I have pictures of myself, like, being amazed, okay? I almost cried. Go, get fitted, stop guessing. Your body has changed, and so has your bra size. You say an underwire is uncomfortable? It's because you never had one that fit right. Like, let them help you. Sometimes, you know, it might not be a nasty bra. You might have a great bra, but you have, like, ratty old pajamas or a ratty sweatshirt that you wear all the time. We all have them. I've worn them every day when I get home. Like, the sweatpants and the sweatshirt come on this week because it's so stinking cold outside. But you know what? Feel nice. It's okay to feel nice. Like, get yourself a new sweatshirt. Get yourself a new set of pajamas. It's great. So it makes you feel confident. It's really fun. So, and also, like, along those lines, when you see somebody looking cute, like, tell them. When people give me those compliments, they seriously last the entire day for me. So, like, yesterday, I was having, like, some issues with my complexion, and I was really self-conscious about it, and I tried, like, foundation to try to cover them up, and then my skin got super irritated, and then someone at Community Bible Study yesterday came down, and she was like, "Your complexion is beautiful," and I was like, "You have no idea how much I needed to hear that today." It was awesome, so it was fantastic. Anyway, I'm talking really fast. I'm sorry. Let's talk interests now. So a little caveat here. I'm assuming that you're spending time with the Lord regularly. Everything here should come after that. So a fun journey that the Lord has brought me on the last few years is kind of figuring out the things that I like and how he has made my personality unique. He's given me some pretty random interests that have led to a lot of joy and a lot of interactions that I would not have had otherwise. So there are things that you like, that you enjoy, that are part of you, that he has given you, that I'm guessing that you have set aside for this season of life. And I'm saying that because that is what I did, okay? It's sad that we do that. So I'm encouraging you to add one piece of something back in. So if it's reading, get an audiobook from the library. If it's a craft, set aside an hour or two every week to work on it. Just something, it'll go slow, but something that you enjoy, that you want to add back into your life. God has made us separate people from our children with gifts and talents and abilities that he will use for his glory when we surrender them to him. And one day when our kids are grown, like, we need to know who God has made us to be apart from them. We can't have our identity only in our children. So if we, you know, cultivate those things, then we'll have... You will use those later, too. Lastly, I want to talk influences. As Dre mentioned, I crochet. And I think I'm hilarious with stuff like this. So we have the Instagram image and what it takes to get the image. Instagram is great. Oh, this is the Scarlet Witch, by the way, which is the best Marvel character. Fight me. Instagram is great, and it's fun, and I love Instagram. Facebook is a dumpster fire, but I do like Instagram. Sometimes, though, it can become a comparison trap, right? Friend, do not be a victim of your algorithm. If your feed is all things that inspire jealousy or fear or anxiety, it's time to cultivate a different feed. Hit the silence button if somebody is annoying, like, or making you jealous. Like, people don't know when you unfollow them. You can, like, remain friends and silence them. They don't know. So it's not like you're going to be like, "Oh, did you see that on Instagram?" And you can be like, "Oh, no, because you actually make me jealous." So be like, "I missed that because I silenced you." Hit the silence button or smash the unfollow button. Like, you need to smash the sin that the account inspires. It's okay. Start searching and liking and sharing different reels, like cute animals or clean stand-up comedy or like something that has to do with a craft. Join Bookstagram, right? Watch a bunch of Nate Bargatze sketches and see how much happier your feed is. Look for things that encourage you and content creators who regularly share scripture. And you can make it a sweet space. Like, it's totally possible. So I have some discussion questions to put up here, but I want to leave you with one more scripture today. It's John 21, 20 through 22, We're dropping in here on a conversation between Jesus and Peter. Peter, remember, denied Jesus 3 times while Jesus was on trial before his crucifixion. And this is right after, it's after the resurrection, and it's right after Jesus reinstates Peter. So John writes, "So Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved." That's John. I love his name for himself. I think it's so funny. Following them. "And when Peter saw John, he said to Jesus, 'Lord, what about him?' Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? As for you, follow me.'" When we encounter our own beautiful Betty, like my grandma did, and we start to compare our appearance or our kids or our ministry or our influence, our ideas, our abilities to those around us, Jesus says, "What is that to you? As for you, follow me." Therefore, my dear sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift that you have given us in our bodies. I pray that we would honor them and treat them with as the gift from you that they are. I just pray that we would all walk away encouraged. I pray that discussion time would honor you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.